Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Judges, Judges and chapter number 20. Judges and chapter number 20. As we come to the last several chapters of the book of Judges, remember that this is not in chronological order as it's found in the Bible, but we're going in chronological orders. That's why we're hitting the last part of the book of Judges first. In fact, you'll see a familiar name, or if you're familiar with Bible things, a familiar name in Judges 20 by the name of Phinehas. Phinehas is Aaron's grandson, Eleazar's son, and he's going to be the high priest. So he's still alive right here. So once again, it helps us to put the proper time frame that this is an event that occurs early within the period of Judges. In fact, before any of the judges are actually appointed by God, this event occurs. And we're not going to do much of a recap of what we hit Sunday night because it was a horrible, horrible story. And you say, why is it so horrible? Why do we have something so awful? Same thing when we get to Judges 20 and 21 now. Why do we have something this awful? What's in here? Well, again, God is highlighting. He is highlighting an event that is supposed to be horrible. When you read this, you don't get the warm fuzzies. This is supposed to show the horribleness of the theme of Judges, that there was no king in this time, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. When you get to the place where there's no authority and everyone's doing whatever they want, this is what you get. In Judges 19, the horrible story about the Levite and his concubine, that is what you get when there's no authority and everyone does what is right in his own eyes. The civil war that we're going to hit here, and the chapter 21, the climax of the civil war. Why is this, what is this all talking about? It is showing the horribleness when there is no authority and everyone is doing what they think is right. And so it is purposely highlighting two historical events and showing how horrible this time frame is. And by the way, as horrible as this is, it's still just going through Judges 20 and understanding what's going on. I feel like I'm watching the news today. I feel like I'm looking at Facebook. I feel like I'm looking at this stuff, because we're going to come to two different groups of people who have two different points of view that are unreconcilable. And the only result they have to their mind is civil war. By the way, we're going to that in our country. It may not be a division between states, but there is such a division in our country now, and it's it can't be reconciled. The only hope is that we have is Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what group you have and what side you fall on. If you're not looking at Jesus, wrong things are going to occur on both sides. We understand that, right? So let's look and let's see an historical event that shows this book of Judges. And if you don't mind, we'll also kind of see, I'm not going to highlight it, but you can see for yourself that where we're at today, when everyone says, what I believe is right and what you believe is right, and everyone does what they think is right in their own eyes, and the consequences that occur and the tragedies that occur because of it. So if you don't mind, let's pick it up in Judges chapter number 20. Judges 20. Notice with me in Judges 20 in verse number 1. Judges chapter 20 in verse 1, the Word of God says this. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man, from Dan even to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew the sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose up against me and beset the house round about me by night, and thought to have slain me, and my concubine have they forced, and she is dead. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. And behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not have any of us go into his tent, neither will any of us turn into his house. But now shall this be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribe of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000 to fetch victual for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, and that we may put them to death and put away the evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew the sword, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. And among this men, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Every one could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss. And the men of Israel beside Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men that drew the sword, and all these were men of war. And the children of Israel rose and went to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down the ground of Israelites that day 22,000 men. We're going to stop right here. But if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that's repeated twice? First in verse 18, where it says, battle against the children of Benjamin. Battle against the children of Benjamin. And then again in verse number 20, where it talks about the battle against Benjamin. The battle against Benjamin. And with the Lord's help, I want to cover what is covered here. The civil war with Benjamin. The civil war with Benjamin. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for you being a wonderful God. And Lord, as we come up to you today, we're asking for much wisdom and much discernment. This is a horrible event that occurs, and it's just inconceivable how far things can go when pride gets involved, when people think they're doing what is right, and what's even worse, when they think they're right, that makes it even worse. Lord, we're asking that you would help us to be able to learn and glean, and most importantly, be able to get the context and its true setting. Lord, give us grace. Lord, I need you in a special way. I need you physically. I need you spiritually. I need you mentally. So once again, the best I know how, I'm surrendering myself to you, Lord. Fill me with your precious spirit that you can get your own word accomplished and get this organized, Lord. Let it be a help. Let us learn from this. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Because this is more of a narrative, if you don't mind, I think I'm going to switch a little bit more into storyteller mode. And I'm going to tell you the story that occurs, and we'll follow it through with scripture from time to time. But I think it'd be good if I just present the story to you. Now, we know in Judges 19, the horrible event happened with the Levite and the Canaanite with his concubine. And at the very end of this horrible event, he chopped up his concubine, his second wife, and he sent 12 pieces to each of the tribes of Israel. How would you like to have that? Right? Post office, here's a package. You open up, what is this? And inside it has a piece of a leg. So here's your leg. What? What's going on? And so they inquire, what is this all about? What does this happen? And so when they get the story that something horrible has happened, all of Israel, the 11 tribes, Benjamin didn't send representatives. They just said, do whatever you want. But the 11 tribes came and they gathered together and they're starting to get seething mad. I said, all right, tell us the story. What happened again? And he recounts the event, at least from his perspective, that he was in the town of Gibeah and that men tried to force him. They gathered around the house. They thought they were going to kill him. He adds that thing. They thought I was dead and that's how come I didn't die from it. But, you know, she died. And he kind of changes the story a little bit. A lot of commentators kind of gloss over that, but he changes a little bit. But what has happened is that he's stirring up a crowd. There's something about a mob mentality that you could get people stirred up and they start feeding off the emotions of each other. And you know what? They are ready to fight. They have 40,000 soldiers with swords ready to go. They are prepared to fight. How dare this happen? There's no way something like this should happen in my country. Oh, and they're getting seething mad and they're ready to fight. They're ready to go. How dare this folly be in there? We're going to show them. So they come up with a game plan. They have 40,000 soldiers that are going down. And then they organize a supply line that they say that 1 out of every 10 and 10 out of every 100 and 100 every 1,000 and out of every 1,000 from every 1,000 from every 10,000. And then they're going to go get back and they're going to bring supplies. So they're going to bring it to the front line. So they got troops coming. They have supplies coming. And they arrive to Benjamin. We see, first of all, here the civil war is declared. That's what I'm talking about now, is that the civil war is declared. They get the population. They organize the efforts. They have 400,000. What was I saying before? Is it 400,000 men? That's a pretty big army, especially in those days. 400,000. That'd be the bigger than the town of Green Bay, gathered up in a big army, ready to go with swords drawn. How dare this happen? How dare they allow those perverts there? What do they do? How come they're not doing anything about it? We're going to have to take action. We're going to have to fix it ourselves. And they have people stirred up. They are ready to go. They are upset. And so what they do is they prepare for this civil war. And as they go to the civil war, they go to the Benjaminites and they said, you give us the rapists. You give us those perverts. You give us those people. You free them now. You give them to us and we will take care of them according to what the law said. Now, let's stop. Technically, are the Israelites right? According to the law, they are supposed to put the people to death. Yes. But is their spirit right? Absolutely not. They are stirred up. They are ready to go. Yes, we should be brokenhearted. Yes, we should not be happy about perversion and things going on. But there's a right spirit and a right way to take care of things. So they come and they're stirred up. They're ready to go. You give it to us now. And the Benjamites, they refuse. They say, nope, we support their lifestyle. They're free to choose whatever they want. And we're just going to stand for the right to believe whatever they want, to act whatever they want. We're not giving them up. Can you see that in our culture today? We're not giving up. No, 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 no. We're defending their rights. We're going to fight for their rights. And they said, no, no, no. Don't you understand? Just give us those people who are guilty. They are guilty. They broke the law. Give them to us. The Benjamites said, nope. And what they do is they get 26,000 of their soldiers lined up, ready to fight. Because of a crime is committed, and because people are stirred up, and now people are reacting to the reaction and whatnot. Now you have 400,000 Israelites. You have 26,000, that's a big outnumbered, by the way, 26,000 Benjamites who are saying, we believe we're right. You can't tell us what to do. We'll do whatever we think is right. Let us take care of things ourselves. And they're ready to fight. Now, they even have special forces, if you like that type of military special forces. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 16. And among this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Praise the Lord for left-handed people. Now, back then, it's considered an insult. If you could forgive me for being crude, it was considered an insult for a left-handed person to be in existence. The reason why is because they didn't have something, a magical invention called toilet paper. Use your own discernment about what's going on. But that's why we shake hands with the right hand, because the left hand is always considered defiled. So a left-handed person, even if you were to go to the Middle East today, it is a great insult to show your left hand because it's considered defiled. Okay, go back. So, but here you have these special forces who, even though they're using their defiled hand, they can do a slingshot. They can aim at something. Notice how well they can aim. Verse number 16. And among the people, there were 600 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hair breadth and not miss. These are their special forces. They got their slingshots. Now, it's not the cool slingshots that you used when you were a kid, but these are things that they would whip around, and they could aim a rock, a stone, wherever they're hitting. They are practiced. They're the sniper brigade. They know exactly what they're doing. And so they said, we got these special forces. So you got 400,000 Israelites with swords that are seething, that are upset, mob mentality. You got 26,000 Benjamites who are saying, you don't tell us what to do. We'll do what we want. We defend the rights, and it's getting out of control. They even have special forces. And now the fight begins. The Benjamites refuse to turn them over. You know, isn't it amazing? The easiest thing, even though this other crowd was overreacting, wouldn't it have been easier for the Benjamites just to turn the people over? Just to say, yes, we admit they did wrong. We didn't punish them. Here you go. But you know, there's something about sin that pride gets involved. And now people want to fight. It's usually the case that instead of people humbling themselves down and saying, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, they want to fight. Oh, yeah? Well, and they want to fight back. Well, yeah, did you consider him? That's all pride. And we covered that, by the way, on Sunday morning. But that's pride. It's pride. And pride is more pride, and it's going to escalate to out of control. So we see, first of all, this idea that the civil war is declared. Now, we see this idea of the tribe of Benjamin defeated. The tribe of Benjamin defeated. So what happens is that they line everyone up, and the people, 400,000 soldiers on Israel's side, 26,000 on Benjamin's side. And so now they want to get God involved. They should have been praying a long time before this, but now they said, all right, verse number 18, and the children of Israel rose and went to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us should go first into the battle against the children of Benjamin? Now, when it's talking about who's going first, it's not saying who's going first, second. It's saying who should lead us in the battle. And they said Judah should lead in battle. You know, the question they ask isn't who should go first. It's should we be doing this in the first place? You know, there's one thing about God, and we'll see that in the Bible, talking about Balaam and the donkey, is that if you've already determined to do something, he'll say, fine, do what you're going to do it anyways, go ahead. He'll allow us to make our own mistakes. He'll just say, all right, fine. They were determined to go in this fight. So he said, send Judah up. So what they do is Judah goes up. They send men into the battle, verse number 20. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin the first day. So this is the first day. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. So Israel begins to fight. Benjamin fights back. Benjamin kills 22,000 men. So 22,000 men of the Israelites die that day. That's pretty horrible. War is always horrible, by the way. And so they go out. So what happens? that night, the second day, verse 22, and the men of Israel encouraged themselves. Man, we're still on the right side. We're still on the winning side. Come on, guys. I know we took some losses, but we're in the right. And because we're in the right, we can expect God to bless us. Let's go. And so Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in the array in the place that they were put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle the children of Israel, Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him again. So they pray again, and they're still determined to go. God says, go ahead. Verse number 24, and the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them at Gibeah the second day and destroyed to the ground the children of Israel, 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. So the second day, Benjamin kills another 18,000. So far, they have killed 30,000 men of Israel. Benjamin's holding their ground pretty good. So now the third day of fighting comes. Then the children of Israel and the people went up, verse 26, came to the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted until the day until evening and burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in the day, saying, shall yet again go to the battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them to thy hand. Now God says, all right, the battle's going to be over tomorrow. We're going to fix this. Now what happens, I'm going to go back to storytelling mode, is that you remember the plan of Ai, the city of Ai, that what they did is they put liars in wait in the other side of town, and they had already lost before Ai before. They do the same thing. So the rest of the remaining soldiers line up against Benjamin. They start fighting against Benjamin, and they start going, oh no, we lost. We lost. And they start backing away, and Benjamin says, we got him this time. And they start heading out. Meanwhile, the people lying in wait comes, and they destroy the towns. They destroy the Benjamin and squish the Benjamite army, and they destroy them. But they don't stop there. You know, what was the whole purpose of this anyways? It was to punish those people who did wrong. Yes, they did wrong. Yes, they deserve to punish. But now pride and overreacting on both sides has stirred up things. And now the people who were in the right, they overreact. And they destroy all the towns, not just the soldiers, but they kill women and children, and they destroy everyone. They destroy the army until there are only 600 men left, and those people go to hide. So they wipe out not just the 26,000 soldiers, they wipe out their wives and their kids and their cities. That's an overreaction, don't you think? They destroy it all. And they're justified. Look, we showed them. You wipe out almost an entire tribe of Israel to show that you're right. Did you really win? And so they wipe them out. Now you got the problem. Here's an entire tribe that's almost wiped out. They went above and beyond more than what they were supposed to. Now, after that, things start calming down and people start saying, oops, I think we made a mistake. Which comes to the third thing I want to hit, is that the wives provided for Benjamin. And that comes to Judges 21. Judges 21. So children of Israel gather together and say, you know, we may have made a mistake here. Now, Benjamin, there's only 600 guys left over of the entire tribe. There's no ladies, there's no women, there's no children left. We killed them all. I don't think it was God's will that we killed them all. Now what do we do? We messed up. So now they got to find wives for them. But they said, the problem is, we've already agreed together that we're not going to give our daughters to them to marry. We're still going to punish them. We're going to boycott them. They can't have any of our children to wife. They're on their own. We got to figure out what we're going to do about this. We got to find them wives now. Well, that's a problem. So what they do is they say, let's go through our roll. And any one of our cities that didn't fight against us or didn't help us, Let's go steal women from them. Now, does that sound like a good plan that you want to go steal women to go supply for this other? No. So they looked through the rolls and they said, hey, there's this town of Jabesh-Gilead. They didn't send soldiers. They said, we're not part of this. We're staying out of it. This is stupid. You know, you do whatever you want. And they said, hey, they didn't help us out. We're the ones who won. They should have helped us out. I know. Let's go kill this town and go steal their women. So that's what they do. They go to Jabesh-Gilead. They wipe out the town. They kill the people. They steal 400 women and say, we're going to supply for them. We've supplied for them. We found 400 women for them. Yay. Now let's do math. How many men were left over? 600. But they found 400 women. They said, oops, math doesn't work out. We're still missing some. So what are we going to do now? We've already wiped out a town and we can't do that again. We've stole 400 ladies so that there. We need 200 more. I know. Let's send a note to Benjamin. All right. Now up in Shiloh, by the way, that's where the temple is. They said, we think there's some ladies who will be dancing. They're going to have a big festival, a big party. And if you go and kidnap 200 ladies to replace so that we go up to 600, we won't say a thing. In fact, notice what they said they're going to do. Pick it up with me in chapter 21. Chapter 21. Let's pick it up in verse 19 for context's sake. Chapter 21, verse 19. Then they, that's Israel, said, behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place that is in the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel and Shechem on the south of Lebanon. Therefore, they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go lie in wait in the vineyards and see and behold if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance and dances. Then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man a wife of the daughters of Shiloh to go into the land of Benjamin. And it shall be when their fathers or their brothers come to us to complain that we will say to them, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war, for ye did not give them at the time that ye shall be guilty. So they said, all right. Now, they'd already waved a white flag, and they went to the 600 guys and said, oh, we're sorry for wiping out your entire families and stuff. To make it up, here's 400 wives. And they go, that doesn't work. We still need 200 more. Okay. What you do is you go up to Shiloh, and when you here's the address. Here's where the crossroads. This is where this big party is. You go and surprise them, and you go catch whatever wife you want. And when their fathers come and their brothers come up and say, they took my sister. They took my daughter. They said, you shouldn't complain. If you gave them willingly, we wouldn't have had to take them. It's your fault. What? And now they have 600 wives and they say, oh, good. Benjamin, you're happy again. We showed you. We did this right. Now we found them wives and husbands. Yay! The Lord was not in any of that. No wonder it says the very last verse of the very last chapter of the book of Judges, Judges chapter 20. Here's what God has to say about this. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see, someone had the bright idea, or lots of someone's thought this was a good idea. But this is not what God intended, what God planned. Why is this in here? God is trying to emphasize the depravity of this period because everyone said, let's do what is right in our own eyes. This is what I think is right, so this is what we're going to do. This is what I think is right, so this is what we're going to do. And they have messed up everything and they've justified it. Look, it all turned out right in the end. I don't think it turned out right in the end. The people who perished, those wives who were kidnapped, they didn't think it turned out right. The town of Jabesh-Gilead, they didn't think it turned out. This is a big mess. A horrible mess. You say, this isn't very encouraging, preacher. Well, I'm trying to say that God gives us authority for a reason. God helps to correct us. And he keeps us together that not everyone can get their way. Do you understand that we live in a constitutional republic that protects people from the majority? We understand that. That if the majority had their way, they could force their agendas, force their way onto individuals. But our country is designed in such a way to protect the individuals from a mass or mob rule. That's how it's designed. That's how the Founding Fathers set it up. That's what the Constitution is. But the Bible isn't in America and doesn't have a thing. But we understand that everyone can't just get their way. What is the whole mess of this? It's pride. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 13. Proverbs 13. And let me show you a biblical principle here. Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. Proverbs 13 and verse number 10, the Bible says this. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Notice that phrase, only by pride cometh contention. What is contention? Contention is when you are rubbing hands and you're striving, when you have that heatedness. Maybe they don't know about it, but when you think about it, it's you want to fight, you want to fix them, you want to show them where they're wrong. Don't they understand that I'm right and they're wrong? That's pride. That's pride. You know what the whole mess here is? That they thought they were right. What's even worse is that when you are technically right, that's the worst type of pride, because you justify your actions because you say you're quote unquote right. When you believe you're right, we got to be careful, because it's pride that cometh contentions. We need to die to self and say, God, what do you want in here? You can have the right position and the wrong disposition. You understand that? That you can be right technically, but have the wrong spirit about it. And we need to be careful with how we deal with things, that it's not done by pride. Again, we deal in a world that has lots of pride. There's a lot of opposition to what we believe nowadays. Do we respond in pride? I'll show you. No. Is the solution to our country's problems, is it to go protest? Is it to stir up riots? Is it to go burn down clinics? Is it to do this? No. What is our solution? To do what God told us to do. Reach them one by one. Go and tell them about the Lord. Witness to them. Love on them. That's our job. We're not supposed to go close down clinics. We're not supposed to go make a big protest. We're not supposed to go do this. We're supposed to tell them the truth and love and reach them one by one, making a dent one by one. That's the biblical thing. That's how we're supposed to do it. Because it's easy, and we've seen that in the last couple of weeks, it's easy to stir a crowd into a mob and get it so mob rules, and the mob tries to force their way to be right. I don't care what side of the issue you're on either way, because we've had plenty wrong on either side. Might doesn't make right. What happened to graciousness? What happened to pointing people to Jesus? What happened to falling on our knees and saying, God, our country is so messed up. Man can't fix it. The only hope is you, Lord. The only hope is you. You see, we have to be careful, because we're in a situation now where we have so much opposition, and we are tempted to show them. I'm going to show them with your arguments, with trying to get enough people. It's amazing to watch people, how they win arguments. They win arguments like this. Hey, come here. You agree with me. Hey, you agree with me. And if you get enough people to agree with you, that's supposed to show that one person, look at all these people. That's not how we win it. I mean, whatever happened to a dialogue at the very least? Let's try to discuss. I understand that some people have their own ideas and whatever else, but we don't convince them by bashing them on the head. By the way, we don't convince them by Bible thumping them either. We win them with compassion. We win them by showing them the love of Christ, that we are all sinners condemned to die. There is none righteous. No, not one. We have to be careful, because we're just as guilty as pride. And we could justify our pride by saying, I'm right. You can be right and wrong at the same time. And we have to guard it. We have to guard ourselves. We have to constantly die to self. If you get to the place where you're trying to force your position or force your way, or you're striving, you're so upset because they don't see things the way that you do, that's pride. That's pride. We have to guard ourselves. And if we're not careful, we are going to contribute to the same type of situation that we have in Judges to what we have today. And it's all going to be because of pride. Pride. This is a horrible story. And if you were to say, what was the underlying cause? How did we get to here? The one word, pride. 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 The Bible says, he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Zebedee, come here. Actually, Josh, come here. You're pretty strong, right? Come here. In fact, I've used this as an illustration with you before. So come on. All right. The book of James talks about this, that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Okay, lean against my hand. No. Okay, now push. Come on, push. Come on. You see what happens? The more that he pushes, the more I have to push back to hold him back. God resisteth the proud. The more that he pushes, the more that God holds him back. But God giveth grace to the humble. You see, you gain a lot more ground when you humble yourself and say, God, it's not me. It's not my responsibility to fix someone. It's not my job to convince them. It's not my job to switch them over. My job is to trust you. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. And God giveth grace to the humble. We all have people that we strive with. Thank you, sir. We all have people that we fight with, whether it's husband and wives, whether it's employer, whether it's pastor, whether it's whatever. We all have authority. We all have people that maybe live in a household or live next door neighbors, and they're just so wrong. And we get to the place, you think about them, and because that's pride. And they're not going to get fixed as long as you feel like you're the one that's going to fix them. Some people are not saved. Forgive me. Some people are not saved because we feel like we have to get them saved. Take our hands off. God, I've done what you told me to do. I was obedient. They're in your hands now. We have some relatives of ours, sons, daughters, friends, mothers, parents, whatever else, that are not right with the Lord. And sometimes God resisted the proud. The more that we feel like we have to fix them, we are going to show them, I got this scripture here and this is going to be, as long as it's us, they're not going to get fixed. When we finally say, all right, God, you just tell me what to do and I'm going to let you do it. It's amazing to watch God work on people's lives. It's that pride that inhibits the whole thing in the first place. Only by pride cometh contention. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Sometimes in our situations, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know who you're fighting against. Well, you're probably in a fight. You probably have someone that you're beating your head against the wall and you go to bed frustrated and you feel that weight on you. It's pride. It's pride. And you got to recognize it as such and say, God, my hands are off. And by the way, you may have to do that several times or more than several times. God, you're yours. Nope. They keep jumping back in your hand. You have to get used to pushing away. As long as you feel like you have to fix them, as long as you're upset about it, that's pride. I say that because we all struggle with it. And we like to struggle with it. You know why we like to struggle with it? Because that's what you like to think of. You have the choice to think of anything you want, and you think of that. It's pride. It's pride. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. This whole thing could have been avoided if all this pride wasn't involved. And because of this pride, it destroyed and changed the landscape of all of Israel. Because of pride. Because of pride. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.